You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Sally, others call me Seisha. If you don't like it, I'm gonna have to beat ya. Nah, I'm just kidding, y'all. Y'all, YNLL, I bet you all thought that Salisha couldn't spell, but now you know, and I got to go. Hey, it's time for the Salisha Show.
Hello, and welcome back to the Salisha Show! I'm your host, Salisha Thomas, and I'm excited because I've been doing these interviews with my castmates from Once Upon a One More Time over the course of, I don't even know, like, since rehearsals. And so now, at this point of, I don't know when this will air, but at this point, we have gone through tech. Not only have we gone through tech, we've opened. Not only have we opened, We've gotten through our entire run, and we actually stayed healthy. And usually I'd be knocking on wood and everything, but we've already closed. Like, we did it. It's in the books. And so now, since we're done, I'm sitting down with one of my castmates that I did not get to during the run. And I'm so excited. Just seeing his face warms my whole heart, my whole spirit. He has such a chill vibe. He's such a sweet soul. And he's mother freaking talented. Here's a little rundown of some of the things he's done. He's toured with Pippin. He starred in Anastasia on tour. He also toured with American in Paris. So you know he can dance, okay? He made his Broadway debut in Anastasia. And, okay, we're going to have to fact check this. I think he might be fluent in French and also is a figure skater. I'm sorry, what? And he's also a writer. Y'all, some of the most luscious lips I have ever seen on a man's face. Please help me from Once Upon a One More Time, Stephen Brower.
Stop it. You're embarrassing me.
Oh my gosh.
Hi, thank
What's
you.
What's up?
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me. This is so fun. I got to tell you all, like, straight up, the French thing is total BS. That is some resume padding, honey.
Shut up. Wait, how can you? But what if they ask you, Stephen?
Je parle français pour si c'est un pendant l'école.
Okay, well, that was really sexy.
Yeah, we give them the one line, and then we're good.
But have you ever been in a room where they're like, "Oh, I speak French," and then they have a conversation?
No, it doesn't. You know, surprisingly, not a very necessary skill. Still to this day, I'm like, wow, I really should have taken Spanish. That would have been helpful.
Wait, seriously though. We don't speak any Spanish?
I'm learning. So my boyfriend is Mexican. So I'm like trying to learn Spanish, but learning as an adult, it's just, you know, and no one is like telling you to turn in your assignments and do your homework. So it's just tough. But I've been getting pretty conversational with it. If I have a little whiskey, I can speak a little better. It's the truth.
I love that. I have on my resume, because I don't even try to lie, I'm like, world's worst dialect. Ask me for any dialect.
Oh my God. Can you give us an example? Give me British. Give me a royal British.
I could do royal British or Cockney. They really sound the same. I just be like, hello, I am from British Columbia. My name is Salisha. I don't know why you're laughing, but I'm trying to teach you a lesson, sir.
I think you booked it.
Honestly, I worked on that accent for so long and I went in for Harry Potter.
And it had to go.
He didn't even look up. He didn't even look up at me. I was like, Ari.
No.
I thought we were friends.
Oh no, Salish. Oh no. You can't have it all. There you go. You have a weakness. There's your one weakness, dialects.
I worked so hard.
That's so funny.
So I want to check in. Mm-hmm. How are we feeling? You're here in New York City right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We're definitely feeling.
How are you? How have you been? It's been a couple of weeks since maybe like 3 weeks or something like that, since we've closed Once Upon a One More Time. How's your heart? Where's your head?
It's interesting. You know, we are accustomed to having short gigs and then finishing them out and it being kind of weird for a little bit, you know, that like unemployment blues for a second. And you just don't have the stimulation that you had during a show or like the responsibility or the purpose. So that was all sort of to be expected. But on top of that, my body really went into like, oh no, we're going to be employed for another year and a half. Like the fear that we experienced in 2020, I definitely felt that again. And it was like, oh, I'm never going to work again a day in my life. Like I'm never going to have an opportunity. I'm never going to have this community again. It was just like, I was acting so strange. Like I was expecting to come back to New York and everything just kind of snap right back into place. And I'll admit it was a little difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously I feel that too. Like, I totally feel that. And it's a weird thing. These short gigs. I'm like, it would be so nice to hear.
Yeah.
If we need to be putting something on the calendar or not.
Yeah. I mean, I feel you. And it's such a special one that like we, and we were looking forward to it for so long. So, and then with the whole Omicron thing towards the end of the run, like just letting that anxiety go has had a real toll on my reacclimating to New York City, to like living with my boyfriend again, to auditioning for things or not auditioning enough or getting a side gig. Like all of these things just feel more loaded than they would pre-pandemic, obviously.
No, yeah, totally. Have you been into any in-person auditions?
Not in person. I've been self-tape central over here. Today I literally dropped $170 on a self-tape setup because I have like, you know, I have none of the gadgets, the tripod, the backdrop, all of that. But I got this email from my agents. It was like agency wide, like, you guys, this is a forever thing. So let's get good at it. And I'm like, well, that sucks because it's so unfair and it's so not what we like to do or feel good at. And even just the fact that I had to spend $170 on that. I mean, I've spent money on dance studios. I've spent money on buying friends meals because they've taken time out of their day to be my reader. Like it's costing us so much more time and energy and money. And it just makes it all even more unfair than it was before. So
I agree. And I love that your agent said that because, you know, it's one thing to be like, to dread it every single time there's a self-tape. But then if you can begin, and I say you, I'm really talking to me, if I can begin to wrap my mind around, like, okay, I think this is a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, don't get me started on my backdrop. Like,
you got a cute little setup in this closet here. What's this going on?
Honey, this is my little closet. I literally am like, I had saved this closet for so long trying to manifest a man into my life. And then I actually did, and he didn't want the closet. I was like, cool.
Cool. Double score.
Okay. We'll take that. But that's so real. And your boyfriend, is he still in Moulin Rouge?
Yeah. That was the other thing. Like, we, you know, we're pandemic lovers. So then coming out of the pandemic, right before we left for DC, actually, like, neither of us had ever been in a show schedule together before. So I left for DC. He started Moulin Rouge on Broadway, which is incredible. But also, like, he's never done a musical in his life. Like, this is a dancer. Like, apart from probably, like, high school, like, probably playing high school musical in high school, I don't think he's never worn a mic on stage. So, like, he is going through this huge life change. Yeah, it's crazy. And to come back with that, we're just, like, really trying to figure it out, because right now I'm working from, like, you know, 8 to 5 in the day, and he's working obviously the opposite. So
at night.
Yeah. So, like, ooh. I do have a boyfriend, but where is he? Your guess is as good as mine.
Shut
just kidding.
Up
the
right
Al Hirschfeld,
now.
Tuesday through Sunday.
Come on. No, oh, my gosh. I love that, and I feel that, and, you know, that is something I was talking about with Diana when we were backstage, you know, being swings together in the show. Like, she was talking about how, like, telling her new husband, like, how the flow of her career goes, and, like, what it means to be in a show and then unemployed afterwards. And something that you mentioned kind of strikes a bell. It's like, not only were we in a show, Stephen, we were mounting a new show. So there was no blueprint for it, meaning it was all consuming. So to go from an all consuming, like, we're in tech, we're changing lines, mm-hmm. we're changing dance mm-hmm. numbers on stage, to go from that to unemployed is like
just nothingness. Yeah. yeah. If the listener can't see, Celicia is currently holding the walls of her closet, trying to keep her life together.
I'm holding the walls, trying to. Where's the duct tape? Let me just duct tape my life together.
Yeah. No, you're
because
right.
I feel like if you're not in the field,
yeah, you can't know what it's like. I mean, I didn't really even understand what it was like until we were doing it, because I have only ever, for these big jobs, at least that I have been so fortunate to do, they've been jumping into something that already existed. I have never, like, created a track. I have never made such big decisions about what's happening on stage. So it was, yeah, you have to be, like, obsessed with it. It's all consuming. So once we left that, it was like, well, okay. I felt like I had such importance. And now I am sitting on the couch.
Yeah, it's funny to hear you say this, because you are important. But, like, to see that, like, this transition, I think a lot of people who, I don't know if there's anybody listening who, like, they're in college, they want to get into this field. But, like, at one point I had this idea of what Broadway is like. You just get on Broadway and then you're just always in a show and you're always, but it's really hard to, like, do that. Not impossible, but it is very, especially with a pandemic just lurching around the corner. It's like, no, there are flows. There are periods of all consuming. There are periods of just being a replacement. All of these things. So it's normal. This, that we're,
yeah,
we're, it's all normal.
As weird as it feels. Yeah, it's all normal.
As weird as it feels. And the answer to your question earlier, yes, you will work again. You will be employed again. Stephen, you're amazing.
Thank you.
You're amazing.
So are you. Thank you.
I want to know, like, how long have you been dancing? Because you're a great dancer.
Thanks.
You're amazing.
Wow, that's really sweet of you to say. It's I didn't start dancing till I was 16. Before that, though, I actually was a figure skater. That part on my resume is correct. So, so I think the transition between ice skating and dancing was, like, you know, easier than if I hadn't done that. But I didn't start dancing till I was like 16. I growing up, I always wanted to be an actor, but somehow fell into ice skating. Like, it's so random. And
how do you fall into ice skating?
Well, I mean, truthfully, okay, so here's what happened. So my parents divorced when I was in first grade. No drama. We're all good now. We love both. They're happy with each other, all that. But
we love.
They divorced when I was in first grade, and my aunt moved back to Oklahoma, where I'm from, to sort of like help my mom raise us and just like help with the transition and stuff. And she was like very eccentric. She would take me to do things like rock climbing and bowling, and she was just trying to keep me entertained because I was never really into like sports. I mean, figure skating, but like not like your typical after school sports. So she would keep me busy. And then I guess one day, you know, this coach at the rink was like, oh, he's pretty good. Maybe I could offer him some lessons. And then all of a sudden I was taking lessons. And then I remember my mom telling this, that she like got a phone call one day from a random person that was like, so we've got Steven signed up for Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And my mom was like, for what? Like, didn't even know that I was ice skating. So then, yeah, cut to like 6 years of doing that and really, really loving it. And I really thought for a second that this was going to be my life. Like, this coach told me, you know, if I were you, now would be the time to leave your partner, move down to Texas and train with me, and you could make it as far as like the junior worlds and be homeschooled, all of that, like essentially give up your life, come down and skate with me. And I was like, yeah, it was psycho. And I was like, wait, junior worlds? That doesn't sound good enough. I feel like I want to be on Broadway. And so
I would have been like, where's Disney on Ice? Call me.
Okay, listen. So I feel like at some point in my career, the two will come back together. I don't know how.
Right? Do you still skate? Like, if you were to get a pair of ice skates, would you be like, oh, I know how this goes? Is it like riding a bike? Or are you like, uh-oh, I don't know. How does it work?
Well, I'll say that falling is a lot scarier as an adult than it was as a child. Like, you're so fearless. And then now I'm like, no, bitch. I'm much higher up from the ice. I don't want to fall.
Yes.
But I had like a little pandemic moment where like the ice rinks were opening back up. So I got a new pair of skates and like would skate every morning with this random group of people. It was really fun. I still really love it.
I am so in love with you, and I love that. Like, I had no idea about that during our run
dark,
of the show.
Past.
So I'm glad. It's pretty amazing. And also, can we talk about this film called Work that you have on YouTube?
Oh gosh, yeah.
What the heck? What the freaking heck?
I think that was like probably right when I moved to New York, and just I always like to be doing something that I creatively can have control over, because I feel like in our business as performers, we often have to like wait for an opportunity to appear for us, as opposed to just making shit with friends. And that was like a great time with a friend of mine. I've done like a couple like dance films like that. And I always try to just like keep myself busy with artistic endeavors that just make me feel like it's that sense of purpose, you know, that we were just talking about, like make it feel like we are doing something artistically worthy every day. I don't know, because I can't like wake up and check the stock market. That's just like not my skill set.
So for those who are listening, who you're like, what is this move thing? Steven, and correct me if I'm wrong, you choreographed this duet piece, dance piece, and got it filmed and put it up. It looks so good. Like, the quality is so good, but also the, like, what you're doing, it, you guys look amazing.
Thank you. Thanks. Sorry, I just had to run to grab my charger because I'm going to run out of battery. Thank you.
Oh, no. We can pause.
No. You're good. I'll take it back from the top of that question.
Okay. For those that don't know what MOVE is.
Work
is this this video that we're talking about. I'm saying MOVE because there's so much movement, but it's called Work. Steven choreographed this piece, a duet piece, you and this beautiful woman, and you're dancing, and the quality is fantastic. And it's really moving. And I am like, have you done more of those? And if so, where are they? And if you haven't, what the heck? Why would you not do that again?
Thanks for all that. I did another one that I was really proud of called Devoted, where I had these three amazing Black women who were all some way or another were connected to like Ailey. I like had met them in different ways, but and it was so random. And then I had my friend like compose the music for it, and we went out to Brooklyn one day and shot it in this like insanely gorgeous industrial like place, and it was really fun and really fulfilling and awesome, but it also cost me money. You know, I did like a crowdfunder for it, or whatever it's called, GoFundMe for it. But you know, those projects, at least when I was younger, they seemed so accessible, and now I'm like, that's money, and what is it for? And do I now I have to submit it to festivals and do all this stuff, and you get bogged down with like all of that, like the paperwork side of it. And but I'm glad that you like are moved by that stuff. That was a real like chapter of my time in New York. Now I feel like my energies are just kind of focused on other things.
I'm feeling inspired, and it's funny because earlier in this interview, you're like, I feel like I'm just sitting on the couch and I'm looking at all these other things that you're doing, and I'm just trying to figure out how you're doing so much. I read your pilot that you have online.
Oh my God.
And it like you write about figure skating in that one episode that I looked at, and how much writing are you doing?
I'm trying.
Have you always written?
Well, I'm trying to do more writing. I've been writing music or lyrics for a really long time. My friend Brian and I have like a little band and like perform music and stuff. And we've been doing that for a while. And and I'm trying to like, I actually was talking to John Hartmere, our book writer, our amazing book writer, because I just like respect him so much and think he's one of the funniest people on Planet E, and he was just
he's pretty funny
and he was just sharing like some great, you know, starter tools as a screenwriter, and he helped me sort of like mentored me on like shaping that pilot. And I'm trying to write a musical now. I don't know, Salisha, I'm just throwing a bunch of pasta at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Oh my gosh, that is so great. And a lesson that I'm hearing here is when you have access to people or resources, mm-hmm. use them. We literally were hanging out with John Hartmere, who has written a lot of great stuff. Mm-hmm. And I wish he liked podcasts. I asked him to come on here. He's like, I do not like talking. I don't like talking. I'm terrified of it. I'm like, oh, no.
That's funny. Yeah, I can't imagine him on a podcast, to be honest. I love him to death, but I can't imagine him on a podcast.
He's so funny. And it's just a conversation. But anyway, like, you had access to him, and you were able to utilize that. Like, there is a message. There's a lesson in that. So just saying.
I mean, I don't know what the, like, the future holds for me, but I know that I also, that I always, like, want to have some form. I always come back to performing. Like, that's what I want to do, at least for the next many, many years. But I also try to keep this other life alive on the quote unquote other side of the table, like try and put the work in and other things just to see what sticks, like choreographing, for instance. That was something I tried for a while and have taken a step back from. And I'm like, yeah, maybe I liked what I did, but I think that's for other people. That's another person's skill set. And now I know that. And I think I just keep trying a bunch of different things. And like you said, if you have the resources, use them. I've been very grateful to like have work and be and have the freedom to like explore things and pull money out of my own pocket. That like, you know, it's much easier said than done to do that kind of stuff. So it is not lost on me that I'm also like in a position of privilege to be able to explore all those different things.
I love it. I love that. What is your ethnic makeup, Stephen?
White.
Oh.
I was waiting for a big laugh.
Anything?
I was waiting for a huge laugh. No, not really. I mean, the most is Spanish. Like, I'm like 1/16th Spanish, but like, nah, we've been Texas folks for a long, long time.
Shut up.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I come from a bunch of cattle ranchers and oil people.
Oh my god. I absolutely thought you okay. I thought you were mixed with a few different things. I had no idea, but you know,
really
that makes
fun.
Sense
I love
people
that.
Always I totally did. I'm like I feel like you're representing so many things, but that's you're a beautiful white man. So.
I'm representing whiteness straight. Oh god.
Have you ever been cast in any ethnically ambiguous roles?
No, I'm happy to say that I have not been cast in any ethnically ambiguous roles. I mean, yeah, no, I think the worst situation I've been in is like maybe callbacks for Paul in a chorus line, but no, never got the part. So luckily I think it's probably for the best.
And I realize now that I'm asking that, I realize that was totally a trick question.
I mean, what if I had like an amazing answer? I'm like, yeah, Seymour in Hairspray.
Oh, if you were like, yeah, I'm cast in black roles all the time, people
Wait,
would be like, what
Seymour?
The heck, Steven?
That's how white I am.
You did say
this is Seymour in Hairspray. That's how white I am. There you go.
Seymour. Wait, you meant seaweed.
Seaweed. Yikes.
Oh my gosh. Okay. And let's see here. Oh yeah, I wanted to ask you because I am going to let you go soon. I'm like,
no, you're fine. You're
I
good.
Feel like I've gotten to know you better in this little 25 minutes. And so that is my hope, is so that anybody who's listening who's like, oh my gosh, I love that show, like that they would get to know you better too. Mm-hmm. What is your audition story? How did you find the Britney Spears musical?
So it's kind of a good one, actually. I remember it first because our friend Ryan was going in for it on like, yeah, our friend Ryan. He was going in for it on like a Sunday and he was complaining. He was like, do I really want to go in for the Britney Spears show? And I'm like, yes, bitch, it sounds so fun. Do it. So I remember he went in and I guess got a call back and then like came over to my apartment to like read through the audition material. And it was like this part that they had all the guys read that later became Erudite. Like they rewrote it to be hit like his role, like Prince Erudite. So I remember like coaching him on that a little bit, like, okay, maybe not coaching, but just helping him on that. He went in, he killed it, whatever. He was like not going to be around for the final callbacks. So then maybe 2 weeks later, I went to an open call for it. I was like, I can't get an appointment for this, but you know, screw it. Like I feel like auditioning for something. So I went in and I sang and I got a call back, which was great. And I danced and didn't think much of it. And then got a call back to like read Prince Charming stuff. So I'm like, okay, this is okay. And I love this role. Like the role is so funny. So right. I go in and I'm like so ready to just make some big choices, but I'm so nervous. And I go in and I'm like maybe two notes into Oops, I Did It Again. The fire alarm for the building goes off.
Are you kidding?
Like for the whole studio. Like it's just screaming fire alarm going off. And I'm like, I clearly can't. I mean, I, you know, we're trained to like just keep going, but I'm like, I can't. There's no way. There's literally no way. It's like,
not a fire alarm.
I'm like, oops, I did it. Okay. Nope. So Paul Hart like jumps up and he's like, okay, I'm going to go figure out what's happening. So the casting director leaves. So it's just like me and David Laveau, John, Keone Amari. It's the whole team and me. And David's like, pull up a chair. So I literally just like pull up a chair and sit and talk with them. Mainly John. We had like a lot to talk about because we have like some a mutual friend. And we just sat and chatted. And it was like probably like 5 minutes of just like getting to know each other. And it was the best gift in the world because I don't think, I mean, who knows? But like that was such a huge icebreaker for like yes. before I even like got up into the material. It was so, and I walked out of that room and I was like, I think I maybe got this. And then I remember telling Ryan that and he was like, oh, that's amazing. Like, good for you. Then they call me back another day and I'm like, oh, bitch, now I'm not going to get it because the fire alarm's not going to go off. So, so I walk in and I'm like, there's like no one there. It's just like me, maybe two other guys in the holding room. And there's one headshot on the table and it's Ryan Steele's. And afterwards I immediately called him and I'm like, I think we're about to book this together. And we lied and then we did. And it was like, so insane. Lost our shit.
My God. I love that.
It was so insane. And then we had a plan. He was in Paris doing a show and I had like a plan to go see him in Paris. And then we decided to like tack on a week in Italy. Like we were just celebrating our lives. We were like, we're about to be on Broadway in the Britney Spears musical together. Let's travel the world. Let's spend all our money. And then, and then 2020 happened. So, you know,
right. Great. Got the best. Great.
And then we were like, oh, okay, we don't have any money. Great.
You went to Europe with Ryan?
Yeah. Yeah. I went to Paris to go visit him and see the show because he was doing an American in Paris there, which is like how we met. And I wanted to see him like close out that show. And then we went to Italy for a week. It was unreal.
I literally love, first of all, I freaking love Ryan. Can you please text him? Tell him to come up on here.
Okay. He told me, he was like, please tell Celicia that I'm sorry I haven't responded. I'm absolutely down. He was like, yeah, tell her that I'm down.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Great. Done. Awesome.
It's done.
Okay. I love that story. And also like, I think it's a testament to like when we go in for auditions, it's not always about what we think it's about.
No.
It's not, right?
Well, and that's what the whole self-tape thing.
We're taught to be
perfect. Yeah. The self-tape thing is really taking away from things like that because the self-tape is about being perfect and is about like presenting this nice little package for them that like, I don't book jobs like that. I book jobs because of the vibe, because of the energy in the room.
Yes.
And it's just so, I wish it would change. I wish we'd go back to in-person auditions. Ah!
Oh my gosh, that is so real. I don't book because I'm perfect. I book because of a vibe. In fact, when I go in person, sometimes I like will mess up on purpose so that they can see my personality and breathe for a second. And
wow,
I'll be like, oh, I messed
so
up.
Meta.
It's so true though. I'm like, I need it to feel like we're in a rehearsal together, not like I'm presenting finished material. And
absolutely.
So I will mess up on purpose, even though I went in for an in-person today and Steven.
Oh, really? For what?
I blew it. Life After?
Uh-huh.
I think
What's
it's
that?
A new, It's a new musical. It's happening in Chicago or something like that over the summer.
And you blew it?
I blew it.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. I blew it. Like, the music, and the writer was sitting right in front of me. I was like, I know I'm effing this up. I'm so sorry.
Okay, are you one of those people, though? Are you one of those people who, like, you book the things that you don't think you're going to book? Like, it's always the jobs you don't think you're going to get and those things you do.
Well, yes and no. Sometimes when I'm going to get it, I can feel it. But usually the ones that I get, it's the ones that I mess up at.
Oh, interesting.
Which is why I go out of my way to mess up and all of the auditions that I actually want. I know. It sounds crazy.
I mean, hey, we all have to play games like that sometimes.
Playing games. But I really messed up today, though. So.
Yikes. I'm sorry. That sucks. But it's okay. More to come.
No, it's okay. I felt like we connected in the room, so we'll go with that. last thing before I let you go, what's your first memory of Britney Spears?
My first memory of Britney Spears was we were in this house. We were living in this house that, like, my dad didn't have for very long, and it was truly like, and I wasn't really this gay boy, like. I feel like every gay boy has this story, but, like, I really was more the gay boy who was, like, playing video games and, like, jumping on the trampoline and, like, figure skating. But today I was secretly dancing with headphones in to Britney Spears, like, dancing my ass off in my room, like, going for it. And then I, like, turn around and my brother's has been watching me for, like, a minute, and he's like, "Dinner's ready." And I'm like, oh my God, I'm mortified. that was my Britney Spears core memory right there. She got me living a little too hard.
Is there such a thing as living a little too hard, especially if you're dancing on Broadway to her music?
Okay, listen. We just need the Broadway part to come around. All right, let them know.
We just need the Broadway part to come around and...
Oh, yeah, it'll happen. I'm sure it will. Me too. You can find on TikTok at Stephen_Brower. What did I cut out? People can find me on Instagram at Stephen Brower, Stephen with a PH, or on TikTok with what's the handle? At Stephen_Brower. Trying to be better on TikTok. I gave up for a while. Oh, yeah. Good for her. I mean, it's the new frontier. Self-tapes and TikTok. Oh, I'm so sorry. It's okay. You got a podcast. You got your podcast already. Don't worry. I love you, too. Of course. Thanks so much for having me. You're amazing. I'm so impressed with you. Thanks for having me. I love you, too. Bye.
That wraps another episode. Thanks for listening to The Salacia Show. See you next week, and don't be shy. If you love the show, please tell me why. Please rate, subscribe, and leave a review. Go one step further, tell a friend or two. Check out my site if you think it was the bomb. Pay a visit to SalaciaThomas.com. One last thing before I relax. Shout out Josh Carey, and thanks, Podmax. I'm out.
'Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere. This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.